Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, yo, what's going on? It's Friday, September 6th. This is The Rant. I'm Jeff, and we're officially in the NFL season. Of course, we have one game in the hopper here, and I do want to give some quick thoughts on that. Today will be a preview show. I'm not going to do every last detail of every last game. I'm going to cover all 15 remaining games and give you a couple key nuggets from each of those games. You're not listening for me to tell you to start Tyreek Hill. So that's not how we're going to roll here on Fridays on the show. But we're going to get into that for you today. We're going to talk about some of the overreactions from the first of 272 games this regular season. I'll dispel some of those overreactions. But there is a key reaction that we are going to have to make after last night. And I think you probably know what it is, but we'll get into that in a moment. If you want fully updated rankings, FTNFantasy.com. This site is officially awesome. It's brand new for 2024. I don't know if a lot of people are actually aware of that, but completely rebuilt the site, combined the DFS and betting sites all into one now. So we don't have three websites. You don't have to go all over the interwebs to find all of our stuff. It's there for you. And people are especially loving the new rankings tool. It's just slick, man. It's so good. And, you know, I know what people are most concerned with. You want to know when I updated most recently. So there is a date and timestamp for that. So you can see exactly the last time I updated. If you want just my rankings, you can filter out everybody else. Or if you don't want my rankings, you can filter me out. It's pretty badass. So go check that out. Plus the DFS rankings. People are loving those DFS rankings on our, you know, you have to upgrade to our DFS package, but we're not going to charge you a gazillion dollars to do so. It's a really reasonable upgrade. So go check it out, FTNFantasy.com. All right, so let's get into last night quickly here. Well, a few interesting things, huh? Xavier Worthy gets out of the gate very hot. Now, a word of caution on Xavier Worthy. Yes, he scored two touchdowns. He had three touches. That's what the kids call unsustainable production right there. He's not going to score two touchdowns every single week. Now, granted, it's great that he got out of the gate hot, but the volume really was going to Rashi Rice. And I thought Rashi Rice looked fantastic. We heard from Mike Florio that he's not going to be suspended very likely this season, which is basically what I've been saying all along. So Rice is going to see lots of volume. He actually tripled up Worthy in targets. That could change as well when Hollywood Brown gets back, maybe even as early as next week. So we'll keep an eye on everything with all of that. The other thing here, you know, don't panic over Travis Kelce. It's the beginning of the season. Yeah, 3 for 34 isn't optimal, but guess what? That defense was keying him, and that's a very good defense that he faced. So I'm not panicking there. But, you know, it's kind of a word to the wise. Like, I saw somebody complaining to me on Twitter about Patrick Mahomes, and it's like, dude, just don't draft quarterbacks early. Like, this is why we do that. It's a onesie position, and you're investing so much to get Patrick Mahomes in the third or fourth round. You're investing so much at tight end to get Travis Kelce in the third round. I'd rather invest in positions I start more of, wide receiver or running back, in those early ranges. So that's the logic behind it. Pacheco looked pretty good. It was just a really tough matchup. He at least got in the end zone, though, and he had a couple catches, too. Two catches for 33 yards. All right, let's move over to the Ravens. Lamar looked pretty awesome. I mean, he definitely, you could tell he lost some weight. The speed is there. He was as explosive as they come. 122 rushing yards, 273 through the air. Like, he's going to be a monster this season, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Derrick Henry got out of the gate hot with a touchdown, but honestly, game script was what kind of ground his production to a halt. Don't read too much into Justice Hill's workload here. This team got down early. They had a bunch of third and longs early as well. And we knew he was going to be the passing down back. When teams play from behind, passing down backs produce more than early down backs. When they play from the lead, it's the other way around. Derrick Henry is going to be fine. They're not going to be facing the Super Bowl champs every single week. All right. Let's address the big one. I saved the best for last. Isaiah Likely had a career game, 9 for 111 and a touchdown. Being that he saw 12 targets, I'm hesitant to say that that was a fluke. I do think this is certainly by design. And I mean, really, we saw a ton of 12 personnel out of this team with Likely and Mark Andrews on the field at the same time, and very little of third receiver Nelson Aguilar in this game. So I don't think this is going anywhere. But I also don't think the sky is falling for Mark Andrews managers because it was just one game. I also don't think Isaiah Likely is the next coming of Travis Kelce. I think he is quite good. He's a mismatch, and there are going to be several big games for him. But there will also potentially be down games. The question is, can this team sustain two viable fantasy tight ends? Last night, they could not. Can they going forward? Potentially. Is this a drop Mark Andrews for Isaiah Likely situation? Hell no. No. Definitely no. Isaiah Likely will be in my waiver wire tool over at FTNFantasy.com for next week. He's going to be a hot commodity. No doubt about it. But Mark Andrews, it was one game. Like, we can't evaluate an entire season based on one game, especially one game when it's the very first game of the season. So give that a little bit of time to marinate there. All right, let's move over, and I'll give you takes like this for every game on the Monday podcast. All right, so we'll move over here. If you listen to this in time for Philly and Green Bay, there's two main things that I'm going to be focusing on in this one, and it's the usage in the backfield. I figure for the Packers, the ball will be spread out among all of the wide receivers. So that's going to be problematic week to week. I've talked about this so many times over the offseason. Like, yes, Jaden Reed, he is the top in my rankings, but do I have a lot of confidence that he's going to be the top scorer? No, not necessarily, because it could be Christian Watson, or it could be Romeo Doubs, or heck, it could be Dontavian Wicks any given week. Just keep that in mind if you have a piece of it, that receiver group. But anyway, what I'm looking for here, how is Saquon Barkley used? How is Josh Jacobs used? I assume both are going to be heavily used in this game, but we're just going to double check on that one. Behind Jacobs, fortunately for him and his volume, both of the backup running backs are banged up. It does look like they're trending towards playing, but they're listed as questionable, both backup running backs. That isn't the case for Philly, but I don't see Kenneth Gainwell or the rookie Will Shipley challenging him for touches. So we'll keep an eye on that there. Pittsburgh, Atlanta. So there's a lot of chatter about Russell Wilson and whether or not he will play. Right now, the latest is he does think he's going to play. He said hopeful. He is hopeful. He told reporters that today. If he plays, I mean, great. If he doesn't play, Justin Fields will be very likely top 20, but I don't know exactly how high I'm going to go with him because obviously he has his deficiencies as well. Russell Wilson isn't playable. So, you know, the main thing that we're going to be looking for here is that backfield as well. Much more of a committee timeshare situation in the Pittsburgh backfield. So start them at your own peril. They're both just flex options for me. On the other side, you know, I just want to see, is Kirk Cousins healthy? You know, that is the one area where I'm proceeding with caution. I love Bijan here. I love Pitts here. I dig Drake London here. But if Kirk Cousins isn't fully ready to go, then, well, that's going to put a damper on things. Arizona and Buffalo, the debut of Maserati Marv. I have him at 13 in my wide receiver rankings. And that's about as close to a ceiling as I'm going to get here, but it will be exciting to see that. This, of course, is the first meeting between these two teams since the Hail Mary game when, in 2020, Kyler Murray threw that Hail Mary to DeAndre Hopkins. But now he has a guy who, you know, honestly has more juice than DeAndre Hopkins from a speed, like, upside standpoint. We'll see if he's as good as DeAndre Hopkins in the peak of his career, but I think Harrison gets off to a nice start to his career. Over on the Buffalo side, I mean, the biggest question is who's the pass catcher? Is it Dalton Kincaid? I mean, have him as a top 10 option. I don't want to start anybody else. I don't want to start Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel. I want to see what Josh Allen does. We're still starting Josh Allen with confidence, but we've got to see it in order to believe it. And really, there's going to be a lot of situations like this in the beginning of the season where we don't know exactly where the team is going to go. So the best answer is usually to proceed with caution. It's not to jam one of these guys into your lineup and just hope for the best. It's ideally we've drafted enough depth to sustain, you know, waiting and seeing. Ideally, that's the approach at least. All right, let's move over to Tennessee and Chicago. The Tennessee backfield, that's going to be a little dicey. Both of those guys are in flex territory for me, but I'm not over the moon, obviously, about one or the other. So it'll be interesting to see how they're used. I want to see if Will Levis actually did make progress. I'm not using him. I think it's fine to use Calvin Ridley and or DeAndre Hopkins as like fringe wide receiver threes. Hopkins is apparently playing through a torn MCL, which is pretty crazy. That's risky, but he's doing it. So anyway, that's what I'm looking for there. And yes, definitely proceeding with caution. On the other side, I'm very bullish on Caleb Williams. I do think he gets off to a hot start in this contest. I have him as a top 12 option. He's got the fleet of receivers. And by the way, I would play DJ Moore. I would certainly play Keenan Allen. DJ Moore is a wide receiver two. Keenan Allen is a wide receiver three. I'm more in wait and see mode for Rome Odunze, although his price point on DraftKings is $4,000, so it's hard to get away from him there. In terms of the backfield, I do think it's just DeAndre Swift and then everybody else. I don't necessarily love this matchup for him, but he's still at least a fringe RB2. New England, Cincinnati. All right, so on the New England side, this is really easy. There's only one usable option for Ramondre Stevenson. The Cincinnati side is extremely complicated right now. You have Jamar Chase. We know what's going on there. He did at least practice today, but I don't have an official designation. All I have right now when I'm recording this podcast is Zach Taylor saying, we'll see if he plays. Yikes. Double yikes. T. Higgins popped up on the injury report yesterday with a hamstring issue, and now his status is very much up in the air. And whether he'll play or not, we were told, we'll see. Awesome. Plan for the worst, hope for the best. Of course, I'll have updated information over at ftnfantasy.com. Actually, the one cool thing too, and I got to point this out. So I update rankings starting at about 4:35 a.m. on Sundays, Eastern time. I'm up because I get picked up to go up to New York for TV. So when I'm in the car, I'm working the whole way up. So I'm doing updates on rankings, all that fun stuff. So there's always, like, basically at any point over the weekends here, you're going to have like very, very up-to-date information in the rankings and projections tools. So those are the big things there. Obviously, the backfield is volatile. That's another one of those backfields that I'm just approaching cautiously for now. We'll see. Is it a full-blown timeshare between Moss and Brown? Is Moss used more than Brown, vice versa? Is it clear that one of them is going to just be the better fantasy option? We just don't know yet, so it's better to proceed with caution. All right, Houston, Indianapolis. I mean, this is the ultimate get your popcorn ready game. CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson. I have a crazy CJ Stroud stat. Like, obviously, we know how good last season was, but check this out. So he became the third quarterback in the past 50 years to lead the league in both passing yards per game and touchdown to interception ratio. The other two players to do that were Tom Brady and Joe Montana. Like, that's a holy crap stat right there for CJ Stroud. It doesn't necessarily mean he's gonna be the next GOAT or anything, although I wouldn't rule it out because he played really good football last year. If he keeps on this trajectory, watch out. But obviously, where does he go with the football? Is it evenly distributed? Does he take more of a shining towards Collins or Diggs or even Tank Dell? Although Tank Dell is not going to be out there in two wide receiver sets, but still, where does the football go in that one? As far as Indianapolis is concerned, I mean, Anthony Richardson, can he just stay healthy, man? He was so electric in his two partial games last year. So can he just stay healthy? Now, I am going to use him pretty heavily in DFS this week because of his price point. Quick note on Jonathan Taylor, like, you're going to use him anyway, but he averages 135.2 rushing yards per game against the Texans. He's faced them six times. He owns them. He absolutely owns them. All right, Jacksonville, Miami. I think this is going to be a fun season for Trevor Lawrence. He has these vertical threats. He has Brian Thomas and Gabe Davis now. Obviously, you still have Evan Ingram. You still have Christian Kirk. You still have Travis Etienne out of the backfield. So I'm excited to see what happens. This is a potentially high-scoring game as well. And I have Lawrence as a top 10 option this week. I really like this spot. And I'm really, like I said, I'm excited to see what he does this season. He was a little bit of a fantasy disappointment last year, but I don't think the play was that bad at all. It's just he didn't put up numbers to justify being picked as a middle round quarterback. But, you know, I always go back to it. Like, I hate drafting quarterbacks in the middle rounds. It's really hard to get good value on the position in that range. So he's a prime example of it last year. So with Joe Burrow, for that matter. Miami, you know who you're starting here. Like, everybody is startable in terms of the non-quarterbacks. Obviously, Tyreek is elite. Jalen Waddle's a wide receiver too. RB2 for both Achan and Mostert. I do have Achan higher in rankings, but I want to see how the touch distribution works out there. Is Achan still an 8 to 12 touch a game guy? Is he, or do they give him more? If they give him more, then yeah, I was probably too low on him. But given his profile, his physical profile, I don't know if they do. So that is something that I'm definitely going to be looking out for here. I don't have Tua in the top 12. He is inside the top 15. It's just he doesn't run. That's the only knock I really have on him. But really going to key in on that backfield and see how the backfield is used. All right. So next on the list is the Carolina Panthers and New Orleans Saints. We'll do that right after this. And we are back. Almost did the radio voice there.
And we're back.
Carolina and New Orleans. Dave Canales taking over as the head coach. He's the seventh Panthers head coach in the last six seasons. It almost feels like you have to include interims, but it almost feels impossible that that is the case, but it is 100% true. That is really crazy right there. So anyway, he's there. Can he improve things for Bryce Young? I mean, all eyes for me are going to be on Bryce Young. He's not startable. Really, the two startable options are Deontay Johnson as a wide receiver three. And actually, I think Chuba Hubbard he's kind of a sneaky back end RB2. Should see a decent volume here. But can Bryce Young take a step forward? On the other side, I mean, I'm really intrigued by what this offense looks like with Clint Kubiak calling the shots. In theory, it fits Alvin Kamara really well. The problem with Alvin Kamara, though, late career, he's coming off career lows in yards per touch, scrimmage yards. His touchdown productivity as well has kind of fallen off a cliff over the last two seasons. So I'm like very, you know, almost cautiously ranking him just inside the top 12 because this is a great spot, great matchup. And again, in theory, the offensive scheme should fit him well. So this will be a really interesting litmus test for Alvin Kamara. All right, moving on to Minnesota and the Giants. On the Minnesota side, what does the Sam Chise actually look like for this team in a real actual game? Not in practice, an actual game. You know, in Hard Knocks this season, Caleb Williams had said, oh, it's easier in the game. Like he said, practice is harder than the game. Sam Darnold is usually the opposite. He is a practice superstar, and then when he gets out in the games, he doesn't perform as well as he did in practice. So we'll see. Can he reverse that here in Minnesota? Can he, you know, actually be a viable starting quarterback, not a liability at starting quarterback? I'm not worried about Justin Jefferson regardless, but I do have concerns about Jordan Addison because his touchdown productivity was so extreme last season. He had 10 touchdowns. His yardage didn't really match that productivity. So in other words, I would expect his touchdown efficiency to come back to like a normal range this year. And I'd be really careful with my outlook for him. As far as the other side is concerned, Malik Nabers. I mean, I love this dude. I think he's a front end wide receiver too this week. Even with Daniel Jones being Daniel Jones, I don't think it matters. You know, where Nabers' strength is as well is after catch. So he's a lot like Jamar Chase in that regard. Just get the football in his hands. Like, you don't have to target him heavily downfield. He's not going to be a catch and fall down guy. If you get him in stride, basically any play could go to the house. Like, that's how electric he is. So I can't wait to see him on the football field this weekend. Vegas and the Chargers. Well, on the Vegas side, I mean, I guess the main thing here would be, you know, the usage in the backfield. We weren't getting the most glowing reviews out of Zamir White or regarding Zamir White out of camp. I'm not using him as anything more than a flex. I actually don't have him on any rosters. I've largely faded him because he ended up going earlier than I was willing to take him. But if that does apply to you, just sort of proceed with caution with him. Not worried about Davante Adams. And it does look like Brock Bowers is trending towards playing in this one. On the other side, I mean, who is the wide receiver target here? Is it just Josh Palmer and we were just overthinking this thing? Is it Ladd McConkey? Is it somebody else? I sure as heck hope it isn't somebody else. And then we've heard that they're going to use a hot hand approach in the backfield. So who gets the hot hand? Is it Gus Edwards? Can J.K. Dobbins just stay healthy as well? Not using either of those guys, not even in flex territory for me. Too risky this week. Moving on to Denver and Seattle. What does Bo Nix look like? What does Javonte Williams look like? You know, obviously for different reasons here. Bo Nix, only the second rookie quarterback to start in week one in Broncos history. And the only other one was some guy named John Elway. So rare company there for Bo Nix. We know how experienced he is. Can he hit the ground running for this team? He's not fantasy viable. But I don't want to say he can't be in the future. We'll see. Can he do enough to sustain value for Courtland Sutton? And then, you know, what does Javonte Williams look like? What does the usage look like? Is he recovered fully from that injury now? Because it didn't seem like he was last year. Or is this just the new normal for him? A lot of questions with him. I think it's fine to consider him a back-end RB2. He should see decent volume here. But then on the other side, you have this new regime. And we know what Ryan Grubb's offense looked like at Washington last year. We know it was awesome. Well, what does it look like for Seattle this year? You know, are they able to kind of take a lot of those concepts and just simply apply it to this roster? Does it look different? How does that work for Geno Smith? I'm going to use DK as a wide receiver too. I'm not going to use Lockett or Smith and Jigba if I can get away with it. I do have Smith and Jigba a little bit ahead of Lockett, but they're both outside of the top 40. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I do expect a lot of the run game here too. Kenneth Walker could be considered a fringe RB1 this week in what should be a pretty favorable matchup and potentially even a favorable game script. Dallas, Cleveland. All right, on the Dallas side, people have been asking me, hey, is it a mistake that you have Dak Prescott ranked at quarterback 20? No, it isn't. Cleveland is a very good defense. They have to go into Cleveland here. And I mean, there are some questions about this offense as a whole. I'm not worried about Dak long term. So if you're freaking out because you drafted Dak Prescott and he's ranked 20, well, it's 1 week. And if there's, I'm not going to do anything crazy on waivers. I just roll with him. If he's my quarterback, I just roll with him and, you know, take it from there. But either way, it's 1 week. It's a tough matchup to start the season out. My big concern here, though, is the backfield. Ezekiel Elliott is up there in age. Can he maintain? Can he find the fountain of youth? Or is this really going to be a potential, you know, emerging year, ascending year for Rico Dowdle? We'll see. Remember, Dalvin Cook is on the practice squad, so he's not on the active roster. On the other side, I mean, I expect a lot of Jerome Ford with no Nick Chubb. He could be a fringe RB2 type option this week. I'm not sold on his play, but the volume should at least be there. But my biggest thing that I'm looking for in this game is, you know, can Deshaun Watson actually regain where he was before he left Houston? Like, he was awesome his last season in Houston. He was awesome. He has not been awesome in Cleveland at all. Not even remotely close. So can he actually play to the level he's being paid at? And yeah, we shall see. Not using him this week. So I'd only really be using Amari Cooper in addition to Jerome Ford and David Njoku. Washington and Tampa. Oh boy, Washington should be fun. Jaden Daniels, can't take my eyes off this dude when he's on the football field. This should be really, really fun. I am ranking him just behind Caleb Williams. I have Williams at 11 and Daniels at 12 right now in rankings. And I'm excited. I'm even more excited for Terry McLaurin, I'll tell you. So he's one of six players with 900 plus receiving yards in each of his first five seasons in the NFL. The other five players, Randy Moss, pretty good. Jerry Rice, better. And then three others that are pretty good too. AJ Green, Mike Evans, and DK Metcalf. So that's pretty darn impressive. And it's especially impressive that he's done so with the quarterbacks he's done it with. This could be really fun this year, but I'm excited for Jaden Daniels. On the other side, you know, we heard the potential of a hot hand approach in the backfield. I don't think there's going to be a hot hand approach because I really don't think that anybody else is close to Rashad White in that backfield. So I do expect a lot of him in a very favorable spot. I like Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans certainly as a little bit of a DFS stack. Obviously, I'm using Evans. I'm pretty high on Evans and Godwin this week. And it is a pretty good spot for Baker Mayfield as well. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Rams and Lions. Well, in this one, I like the, you know, I love the narrative of this one just in general, Stafford and Goff. But let's take a look at this backfield. Is Kyren Williams still clearly the lead back? Or are they going to use Blake Corum? Now, I've hedged a little bit in rankings. I have Kyren Williams more as a front-end RB2 than a back-end RB1. And it's really because of that punt return stuff. Like, we'll see. Is that meaningless? Is he actually going to be doing it? Is he going to do some and not all? I mean, I don't know. It's a viable concern. So what do the touches look like? How does it break down between him and Blake Corum? I'm not using Blake Corum here. And then the target volume for Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, I have them both as top 10 receivers this week. Very bullish on those two in this contest. Obviously bullish on the other side on Amon-Ra and Sam Laporta. But, you know, again, how do the touches break down in the backfield? I think you can use David Montgomery as a back end RB2. Obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs is a RB1 for me. I would not want to be using both in the same lineup, though. That's just way too volatile for my liking. But you can use them both. Obviously, you can use Gibbs, but you certainly use David Montgomery because of the touchdown appeal. Like when they get down there and they're inside the five, he's going to get those carries. So what does it look like, though? Is it the same as last year? Does Jahmyr Gibbs get a little bit more work, like how it kind of resembled how it was down the stretch? Or, you know, what does this look like? I love these questions. I still don't have the darn answers. All right, finally, Monday. I mean, I don't think I'll do any preview of Monday Night Football on the Monday podcast, so I might as well just do it on the Friday shows. So Jets and San Francisco. Aaron Rodgers, obviously. This is a brutal matchup for him to start the season coming back from this Achilles injury. But much like Kirk Cousins, how healthy is he? We can't use Aaron Rodgers for fantasy. And no, that doesn't change my outlook on Garrett Wilson. But we have not only a quarterback coming back from an Achilles injury, which is a brutal injury, we have a quarterback who's north of 40 coming back from that injury. In the history of the NFL, he's only the seventh quarterback who's 40 or older to start a season opener. Tom Brady did it a bunch of times. Drew Brees did it a couple of times. The only other players, Brett Favre, Warren Moon, and Vinny Testaverde. Oh, and Johnny Unitas. Can't forget Johnny U. That's it. That's the entire list. So uncharted territory, largely here. And I'm fairly certain that none of those dudes started it coming back from an Achilles. So how does he look? Doesn't move me off of Garrett Wilson. Doesn't move me off of Breece Hall. Even the matchup doesn't move me off those guys. I'm playing them. The matchup is pretty bad on the other side, though. Like Brock Purdy, he's outside of my top 15 quarterbacks. Like, I can't start him with that much confidence in a one quarterback league, even with Debo, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey. And we got to talk about McCaffrey in a minute here. Even with all those guys, it's tough. It's a tough spot. Now, I'm using Debo as a back-end wide receiver one, tempering expectations for Brandon Ayuk just a little bit, more of a fringe wide receiver two. Kittle is obviously top 10, whatever. You drafted him, you're starting him. But let's talk about McCaffrey. So I had a lot of people hitting me up about this and like, how come you didn't talk about the Achilles aspect of the injury? And, you know, this is new. And like, you know, they want to basically find a reason to panic. I didn't talk about it, or any fantasy analyst didn't talk about the Achilles aspect, because it wasn't reported. And the reason it wasn't reported is because in the preseason, NFL teams don't have to report injuries. I mean, they don't have to tell you what it is. Right now, now that the season has started, they do. And it can be more than one injury. There's mechanisms of reporting multiple injuries. Like if you have a neck and a back injury, you can report both of those, right? So this is a calf / Achilles issue. And if you realize where your calf leads down to, that makes perfect sense that that's the area where it's impacted. It is not a new injury. It's the same injury he's had since basically the beginning of training camp. And they put him in bubble wrap and they let him rest. And he's going to be good to go. All reports suggest that he's fine. They just have to report this stuff. So it's not new news, it's old news, yet a lot of people out there are acting like this is a brand new thing. And some people are doing some crazy stuff. Like, honestly, if I had Jordan Mason and I didn't have Christian McCaffrey, I would sell that dude so stinking high to the Christian McCaffrey manager. A lot of these Christian McCaffrey managers are panicky. You know, chances are they were the ones who had the first overall pick. They probably reluctantly, begrudgingly took him. Weren't happy about it, not happy about having Christian McCaffrey and the injury because of the injury, though. And now here they are panicking even more. It's only week one. No need to panic. And he sounds like he's going to be good to go. Of course, if anything changes, we'll adjust all that stuff over at ftnfantasy.com. But, you know, when you're going into this weekend, one last little piece of advice, like first and foremost, remember, week one is always going to be weird. It's always going to be weird. This is the first time that these guys get out there for an entire game. You saw it last night. Some of those dudes were gassed in the fourth quarter. You had like super important snaps at the end of the game, and Chris Jones isn't even out there for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, some of these guys are just so gassed. It's their first full game. Weird stuff happens. The weather is warm basically everywhere. Weird stuff happens. It's not time to lose focus on the entire season. Like, we have to still focus on 14 weeks for our regular season so we can get to the playoffs. It's not time to freak the you-know-what out because something crazy happened. Crazy things will happen this weekend, but don't, you know, let that get you off your game. And when you go to make those start-sit decisions, I know, like, people make fun of me over this, but it's just maybe because I revealed the magician's secret. Back in the day, you'd have people who were, you know, claimed to be fantasy experts. And if you listen to me for long enough, you know I hate that term. Like, I'm not a fantasy expert. That's so stupid. Like, that makes a person sound way more important than what they really are. Like, cool. I follow this game very closely. I love the NFL. Fantasy is my excuse to talk about the NFL all the time, but I am no stinking expert. Anyway, they call themselves that, and they train people to ask them start-sit questions. And you know what they were doing behind the scenes? They were just using rankings to answer those start-sit questions. That's how you answer them. And they just didn't tell people that. Well, I'm telling you, I'm revealing the secret. Start the highest ranked guy. Don't do anything crazy. If it seems crazy, guess what? It's probably crazy. Start the highest ranked guy. And, you know, if that applies to you, like, if you want to do your own rankings, you want to take somebody's, you take my rankings from ftnfantasy.com and modify them, okay, do it. And then you start the highest ranked guy in those rankings. Find whatever ranking source you trust the most. If it is mine, or, you know, I mentioned this before in this podcast, like Mike Clay's, or if you like the aggregate rankings at Fantasy Pros, I really don't care what you use. Like, you're not going to offend me if you don't use mine. A lot of people like them. I put a lot of time into them, and those are my start sit. But use whatever you want to use to make those decisions. Just consistently do so. That's what rankings mean in season. It's who you should start and who you should sit. That's plain and simple. Again, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Go get some merch too while you're at it. I mean, if you want to represent, if you're like a Rat Packer and you really want to represent, we got Rat Pack merch. We got other FTN merch as well at ftnfantasy.com. You can follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. Still trying to get to 10,000 there. My wife said I can't do it, and I think she's right. don't let her know that, but I think she's right on this one. Maybe you can prove her wrong. The other thing too is on Sunday morning, I'm on TV, national TV, the CBS Sports Network. The show is called Tops, which is abbreviated of That Other Pregame Show. We're the first NFL pregame show on the air in the mornings on Sundays. We're on at 8 a.m. Eastern, and we go 4 hours. It's until noon. So, you know, hey, if you're getting ready for your day, you're in the war room doing your start-sit stuff, put us on, man. It's a great show. We do all the NFL pregame stuff. We have a lot of fun on it. And then we do talk fantasy and betting. So that's where I come into play on the show. So make sure you check that out. That is that starts on Sunday, bright and early, baby. All right, week one is here. Enjoy week one. Try to enjoy the football, man. Try to actually enjoy the games. Doesn't have to be a miserable experience. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the weekend. And on Monday, I'll come back and I'll recap all the action, all the madness. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.